Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a Trent presentation from November 2016. Ms. Vicky Stickland, Managing Director, Brandwave GmbH presents Putting the Brand Back into Ingredient Brands.
Hello all, thank you for coming today. To my presentation, which is all about putting the brand back into ingredient brands. So we've got about 45 minutes to discuss a topic which is really wide ranging. So it's going to be a very, very quick overview, a bit of a whirlwind tour, one might say, all about ingredient brands and very much thinking about how, if you are selling materials, you can generate an IP with your brand and what that means, and looking at how this market specifically is moving from a B2B market to a B2B2C market, which is something that we at Brandwave have kind of focused on quite a lot over the last few years. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing in this market as well. Okay, so I'm going to try and answer four key questions within our sort of 45 minutes to an hour. And hopefully, you're going to go away brimming with ideas about what you can do with your brands moving forwards. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am. We're going to talk about specifically brand positioning. And then within the remit of brand positioning, we're going to look at the idea of B2B2C. Then we're going to look at why that's important to your ingredient brand. And finally, we're going to try and stop and think about, again, you guys, and what you can do to improve your ingredient brand's positioning within the market. I think everyone will agree, if you've walked around the show, you know, this is becoming an ever-increasing saturated market with lots of companies all selling their wares. And what we need to find and distinguish is something that makes us a little bit different. And that's kind of what we're going to chat about today. So I think when it comes to materials brands specifically and in ingredients brands, there's very much a difference and there's very much a disparity between companies. Some that sell themselves as a material, it's a commodity, it works on a B2B level. And then there's brands who have been able to establish themselves within the B2B2C market. And what they've done there is they've created their own IP, so their own intellectual property. And us as a marketing agency, we sort of come in and looking to generate IP for brands. And that's sort of what I'm going to be talking about today. And really reviewing the impact that strategic brand positioning can have on all aspects of your business. So not just thinking about marketing and not just thinking about this from a marketing perspective, but also from a wider business level. So how does your brand positioning affect your HR policy? How does your brand positioning affect your staff or your finance team or whatever that might be? So brand positioning is all encompassing. So firstly, I want to break the ice with you. I want to sort of know who I'm talking to a little bit. Can you put your hands up if you're some sort of product manager or product designer? Have we got any product managers, designers? Yeah. Great. Okay. Can you put your hands up if you're in charge of sourcing fabrics here? We've got any sources? Okay. We've got a sourcer in the audience, which is good. So this is who probably a lot of you guys are selling to. Have we got any sales managers? No? Okay. Are you here from an apparel brand? Who's here from an apparel brand? Okay. Who is here? Who here has a stand at the show? No, they're all busy working. Okay, a few, but most people are busy working on the stands. Which leads me to think most of you must be innovators of you're selling fabrics, you're selling materials on a B2B level. Is that correct? No. Some people nodding, some people shaking their heads. Okay, of you here, this is the main question. Of you here, who sees yourselves as a B2B to C brand? Are any of you B2B to C brands? Okay, think about that at the end of the presentation and hopefully you might have changed your mind a bit. If I've done my job, and that's what this is all about. So who am I? What makes me qualified to speak to you on this topic? This is I. I am the managing director at Brandwave GmbH. We're a sports marketing agency specifically focusing within the sports market. So we provide creative, strategic, and digital solutions just to sports brands on a global level. And within that remit, within kind of the idea of the world of sports, we have worked with a lot of apparel brands, and you'll see some of them in a minute, but we've also worked with a lot of ingredient brands. So I think we are in almost a unique position to understand the challenges faced by this market, both from an apparel brand perspective and from a materials brand perspective. And that's what I'm going to try and instill some of that knowledge with you guys today. I also led a panel discussion at the outdoor conference last year with two brands and two retailers. So with Norona and Raab, Nattokampiant, the big retailer in Sweden and the Nordics, and Snowleader, which is a very big retailer in France. And we discussed the challenges facing the market today, both from a retailer and a brand perspective. And actually, one of the key things to come out of that panel discussion was how ingredient brands and how materials brands need to be sort of feeding into this conversation. And actually, we need to sort of all work together to ensure the viability of this market, to ensure that apparel brands can continue to innovate, and therefore to ensure that retailers and brands can work together in harmony to continue to sell that product. So actually, I think that the ingredient brand market has a big role to play within the whole sports industry as a whole. And in that sense, what brands are calling for and what apparel brands need is IP from the materials brands that are selling to them. So they need to be able to tell that story. They need to be able to create content around the products that they are developing. And therefore, there needs to be some level of IP. And this is where the idea of B2B2C comes in. So these are some of our clients that we are lucky enough to work with. Many of these we've worked with since we've been going for 10 years now. At any one time, we're working with kind of a third of these brands that are on there. So you can see, you know, the likes of Gore-Tex. There's the likes of Deflection who are on there, who are owned by Dow Corning, the chemicals company from the US, from an ingredient brand perspective. But then also from an apparel side, you know, we have the likes of Adidas, the North Face, Salomon, who we're working with on a daily basis, and we're creating content for on a daily basis. And therefore, we really see the challenge that the industry is facing from both sides and from both perspectives. And finally, in terms of an introduction, at Brandwave, we run our own networking event called Network B. This happens once a year, every year. Traditionally, this happens in the UK, but next year it will actually be held here in Munich. So if anyone wants an invite to that, let me know after the talk, and I can put you on the list. But this is all about getting our clients and our friends and people that we know in the industry together to try and collaborate and actually push the industry forwards. And that's really what Network B is all about. And last year, we focused this on brand positioning. And we had some very high-level marketing directors from apparel brands speak to us about what they need, the challenges that they are facing from a brand perspective. And again, you know, it comes down to content. It comes down to continually being able to tell new stories to their customers to make sure that they kind of keep that authenticity. And therefore, on that level, this is where you guys come in as materials brands, and you're able to help with that. So, hopefully that's question number one answered. Who am I? Done. Question number two was, what is brand positioning? It's a really wide-ranging topic, so I'm going to try and condense it slightly and answer kind of two questions. So firstly, what is a brand? If we want to understand brand positioning, we need to understand brands. And if you ask different people, you're going to get different responses with regards to what a brand is. So if I asked my lawyer would tell me that a brand is a trademark. Nothing more, nothing less. That is what it comes down to. If you ask a marketeer, such as myself, what a brand is, what I think that is it's the equity that your brand has in the mind of the consumer. So it's more of an emotional response to something when a consumer is confronted with your brand. How do they feel about that brand? And it's not just a logo, it's all the emotion that goes with it. And that's really, really important. But you guys, traditionally, I'm thinking from who I know is in the audience, are not selling on a B2C level. So you might say, well, yes, that's absolutely relevant for the likes of Adi, for the likes of Nike. That's what it's all about for them. But what about me? I'm selling on a B2B level. So it's actually not that relevant. We don't need a brand. The problem is you're still selling. You still want to get rid of your goods, right? And actually, now what we need to do as marketeers is be able to tell these product stories. You've got a very crowded marketplace, and actually what you're facing is other materials brands who are coming into your same customers and saying, well, yes, you know, we have a material, but we also have all these aligned values with your brand. We are going to create content and supply this to you, so we're going to actually help you to sell this product. And one of the key differences, one of the key shifts that we have seen working with brands for the last 10 years is the change in the role of a product manager at a company. So you guys are probably typically selling to product managers, to product designers, et cetera, and actually over those last 10 years, the shift has been from product to marketing. So you'll find a lot of product managers also have to consider the way that they market a product. And even before they have decided to create a certain product, they have to have a marketing plan in place for that. They have to understand how they're going to sell that product and what USPs will actually resonate with the market. And so therefore, actually, as soon as you're going in there and trying to sell your wares on a product level to a product marketeer, you need to be thinking about the stories that you can help them to tell with your brand. So it's not just a commodity. So there is a feeling there, so then they can communicate that on a B2C level. And that essentially is the crux of B2B2C. It's, yes, you're selling to in a B2B market, and it's a transaction, but actually then you need to, as materials brands, you have the responsibility then to help that apparel brand sell that product. And that's where the B2B2C level comes in. And that's what obviously some brands here at the show have been able to do very, very well. And it's also what I think seems very daunting to a lot of brands, because obviously all brands have or don't have an infinite budget, and they don't have an infinite amount of resource and of staff to be able to manage that. So how can we look to create a brand with minimal resources, with minimal staff? And there's definitely things that you can put in place to do that, and different ways that you can perhaps approach your marketing and approach your idea of the product that you're selling to be able to communicate that. And I think that's really, really important. So I think just to kind of conclude as to what brand positioning is, it's the position of your brand in someone's mind. So brand positioning is not what we tell our consumers or our customers that we are. It's not. it's actually what our customers think about us, so where they position us in their mind. And obviously your customers are B2B, they're product managers, they're procurement sometimes, which we all know are a nightmare. But what you need to be able to do effectively is position your brand within the minds of those people that you are selling to so that they can then position their brands within the minds of their consumers. B2B to C. And so that's the first thing, the positioning of your brand in your customers' minds. And then the second thing is differentiating yourselves from the competition, which I think there's a lot of scope for within this market, and we'll get onto that in a little bit. So, has anyone here heard of Simon Sinek? Okay, if you speak to like a room full of marketeers about Simon Sinek, everyone puts their hand up. They've all heard about him. He's like an absolute guru in the world of marketing. He has one of the, I think, top 10 most viewed TED Talks of all time, I believe. And I would encourage you to listen to him. Make a note of his name, Simon, S-I-N-E-K. And essentially, this is his theory, and I'm not going to go too much into detail on it because you can watch his talk. It's very good. Do that. But he talks about how brands sell from the outside in when they should sell from the inside out. So a lot of us know what we sell. I hope we know what we sell. If we don't, we probably have an issue. A lot of us know how we sell that, so how we create that product. We have an understanding of the process that we go through. It might be that it's an environmental process. It might be that it's all within Europe, for example. So we have an understanding of how, and sometimes we use that as well to sell. So we'll say, well, our process is built on technology that we have created in-house, and we have all our staff in-house that have worked on things for the last 25 years, and then that's our process, and that makes us the very best product, which is great. But actually, what a lot of companies don't do in terms of telling the story of their brand is why they do that. So I would ask you to think about, do you understand why you're doing what you're doing? And everyone knows ultimately we want to make money, and that's great, but surely there needs to be a greater purpose than just making money. That doesn't, to me, make me want to buy your product. Why is it? What drives you every day to get out of bed and go sell that product? What is it about that product that's so special, that is just down to you guys? And I think one of the key marketing comparisons you can look at is the trusty Mac versus the PC. And what is it about the why that people connect with that makes them either want a PC or it makes them want a Mac? And you're not really connecting on a product level. It's far more about those aligned values. So please do take a look at Simon Sinek's talk after this if you want to know a little bit more about that and how he feels brands should sell with their why. So when we think about why, when we think about what it is that's driving us, that is brand values. That is our brand value. And that is what a lot of companies have written down in a file on a shelf, it's maybe got a bit dusty, and you know, you might get a consultant that comes in and says to you, do you guys have brand values? And you say, well, absolutely, let me just go and get the folder and I'll dust it off and I'll read them out to you. That does not maketh brand values. That is not a brand value of a company. A brand value of a company has to be all-encompassing. It has to be something that all staff are aligned with, all staff buy into, and that is actually communicated. Because it's all well and good having a brand value, but if no one understands that that is what you stand for and that's what's driving you, then how can they really understand the importance and the value of your company to them? And how can they align themselves with your own values? So generally when we make decisions in life, what we're doing is we're trying to align ourselves with people, with brands, with associations that have similar values to ourselves. And that's just how life works. But if no one knows what your value is, what your brand stands for, how are they meant to align themselves with your brand? That's when you're selling more on a commodity level as opposed to on a relationship level, which is what we're speaking about. So why is brand positioning important to your brand? We're going to play a little game called Guess the Ingredient Brand. It's not controversial, don't worry. So I just got some brand values of an ingredient brand, and I'm going to tell you what they are. And hopefully, you are able to guess which brand it is. So this brand is created from the very best yarns in the world. Okay? Very best yarns. It's also very environmentally responsible. So that's a big part of what drives them. It's a very premium brand, and it's technical, but it has a long history. So it's been going for a number of years. It's also very innovative. That's the brand. I don't know if anyone can guess who that is. No? Good, because it is no brand. I made it up. But the point is that we hear this so often, so many times, especially within this market. So actually so many brands say, well, these are all our brand values. And I say, well, that's great. And I'm really happy to hear that. And I'm happy that you guys have sat down and done a brand values exercise. But actually, what does that mean? Because that's what every brand comes and says to me, that they're their values. So as opposed to just sitting down and regurgitating what you think people might want to hear, I think it's really, really important to think, actually, what is it that makes us different? What is it that we believe in that we can go and tell people and that then our customers are going to want to align with that? And that's the important thing. So I've got an axis here. Any marketeer you ever speak to will love to work with an axis that looks like this. We just like to do it. I've put some suggestions of aspects that you might want to consider within the axis. So we got premium versus value, heritage versus innovative. So these are sort of opposite aspects that brands will try and push to sell their brand in terms of a brand value. What this is trying to demonstrate is if you think about this from where you think your brand is currently positioned, so maybe just have a little think to yourself and plot it up there. I think I'm pretty solid with it. I think that's where we would be positioned within this axis. And then have a think about it from where you think your customers would put your brand. Is that in the same place would be my question to you. So you've already plotted where you think you are. Where do your customers think you are? And would that be in the same place? And if it's not, then perhaps there's a piece of work to do there to actually try and communicate to a brand what it is that you're doing and where you think you are positioned within the market. And then a step on from that is where your customers' customers think your brand is currently positioned. Do they even know you exist? Quite possibly not. And this is where B2B2C comes in. This is where intellectual property is generated. And this is where brand value is driven from. So brand value is driven from intellectual property. And you don't necessarily have to be named as a partner with on a product, okay? It takes years and a lot of money and spend to get to that point. But as I keep saying, brands are constantly looking for stories, they're constantly looking for content. And if you have a good story that you can tell them, that then they can tell their customers, that's brilliant for them, you know? That's the dream. So actually, more and more and more, it's becoming increasingly important to get recognition with your customers' customers, okay? And it doesn't take $1 billion marketing budget to do that. There's simple things that you can do and communicate to your customers to then get them to want to tell that story as well. So when we have those three things in alignment, so when we say this is where we think we are, this is where our customer thinks we are, and this is where our customers' customers think we are, That's what we call at BrandWave brand transcendence. And this is when your brand transcends through your customer and through your customer's customer. And essentially, that's the pinnacle, you know, that's what you're looking for when you're communicating what your brand is and what you stand for. And used properly, brand transcendence transcends everything within your company. So this is what I was talking about earlier. It's not just a marketing piece of work. I was talking to a brand yesterday about this, and they had an amazing kind of brand value, and it's just one simple brand value that they have. And I say, well, that's brilliant. How have you developed that? How do people know about that being your value? And they say, well, we haven't communicated that yet. And I say, how is that shown in your office, for example? You know, what is your office furniture in line with that? No, oh my gosh, we hadn't thought about that. We don't communicate that. We just know it for ourselves. And I said, well, if you keep that to yourself and you don't communicate it, then it has no value. And it's about taking that idea and, as I say, transcending it across the business. Fourth and final thing, what can you do to improve your brand's positioning? Hard to condense this down into a couple of minutes, which is what I'm going to have to try to do. But to do it, I refer to one of my heroes, Mr. Dave Brailsford. Now, if you're not British, you might not know who this guy is. No one knows. It's fine, I'll explain. This guy is the British cycling coach he was the British cycling coach for the British cycling team and also for Team Sky. Now he's just Team Sky. But he was the British cycling coach from the 2008 to the 2012 Olympics. We didn't do so well in cycling in 2008. And so they brought this guy in and they said, we want you to really make some big improvements. We want you to improve everything by 20%. We want X amount more medals, et cetera, et cetera, by 2012. And he said, if I go about and if I tell my staff that that's our aim, no one is going to think that that's possible because they've all been working as hard as they possibly could up until this point. They've all been working smart, like we've got a really good team behind us, and we also have a very good strategy. So it almost feels impossible to improve things by 20%. But what he did, rather than going and telling everyone he wanted them to improve by 20%, he went around to everyone and told them, I want you to improve by 3 to 5%. Do you think that is possible? And they said, yes, you know, absolutely. We are on board with improving between 3 and 5%. But the point is, if everyone in the company does that with all of their respective fields, then actually what you see is a big shift in terms of success and in terms of improvement. And that's what this guy did, to the point where he realized that his athletes weren't sleeping well when they were going away on tours. So he made them take all of their own pillows, for example. It's like tiny little things that you can do. Don't cost any more in terms of budget. But all of these things combined actually formed to make quite a big improvement and a drastic change for the British cycling team. And we like to use this when looking at brand strategy and business strategy. How could you potentially improve all of these sectors, all of these things you have within your business by 3 to 5% and bring them in line with your new values, for example, to actually make a big shift within the company? It seems daunting when you first think of it, but actually if you start to break it down, it becomes a lot clearer and it becomes a lot easier to digest and actually think, yes, that's achievable, that's something we can do. So for example, if you look at this from a product perspective, you know, you might say to your product manager, this is our why, this is our vision, this is what we stand for. Go and create us a product that is in line with that. You know, the product needs to emphasize everything about what we are and what we do, and that is your challenge. And then of course that makes it easier for the marketeer to turn around and say, okay, I can sell that because I understand why we're doing that. It has a purpose for me, for example. So that's really important as well. And then I think it's so easy for brands to become overwhelmed with the idea of brand positioning, and especially within this market, which has traditionally been very B2B. You can almost think, oh my gosh, well, there's so much we could do. How can we even narrow that down? It's impossible to achieve all of these things. And what we say is, you know, everyone has to start somewhere, and you have to start. So why not start going narrow and deep? Like this glass here, okay? So what we're doing and what we're saying with this is do something, say, okay, this is our strategy. We're gonna do one thing and we're gonna do that really, really well. Okay, it's called going narrow and deep, and what it means and what it sort of stands for is you're never gonna appeal to everyone. You're never gonna be able to do all of the things that you want to do. You can't be what we would call like a jack of all trades, so do everything really, really well. But say, okay, we're gonna do this one, or we're gonna do these two, three things next year, and we're gonna do them really, really well. And we're gonna communicate what we're doing with them on an internal level, but also on an external level. And that's our strategy moving forwards. And again, It's less overwhelming for people to understand, and people can get on board with that strategy. So that's really important. And do it with authenticity. Think back to the slide I had when I asked you to guess the brand. And actually, it could have been one of several brands. I think it's really, really important to be authentic in this market, especially in this market, because again, that B2C offering, they are very knowledgeable. They do a lot of product research when they buy products. So anything that you're saying, you have to be able to substantiate. But it could be that you do something already within your company. You have a really authentic story that you're just not telling anyone. And that happens so often with brands. It's just about thinking, okay, what is our story? Not just making something up. You know, I'm not talking about kind of going away and reinventing how the brand was created. It has to be a level of authenticity, I think, with everything that you do. And people internally also have to be able to buy into that, because they're the people that are going to go out and sell your brand for you. So that's really important too. And then when you have all of these things and when these aspects align, so you understand what your brand values are, you understand why you're doing something, and then you're able to communicate that on a B2B to C level, that's when you get brand transcendence. And I think that's really important, and that's what we look for as a company to try and help brands with, and to try and kind of put them in that alignment, both internally and externally. So everyone should know what the brand wants to achieve, and everyone externally should know why you're doing that and what's driving you to do that as a company. So as a conclusion, I just want you to think about whether you are a B2B2C brand, whether perhaps you're not at the moment, but you should be, and you should be starting to think about marketing a little bit differently, perhaps, in an ever-changing, ever-growing marketplace where your competition is also growing. What can you do on that B2B2C level to actually make yourself stand apart from your competition? Put that to your marketeers. And then a personal action plan. So again, thinking about our mate Dave Brailsford and his marginal gains theory. Is there something that you can do personally? Is can you just go back and start the conversation internally and say, do you know what, guys, I think we need to start doing things a little bit differently? Then you're already on that journey, you're already on that plan. That's something that you're doing today. So whenever I do a talk, I always hope that people take one small thing away from it that they're going to implement in their company. And whether it is just saying, oh, I saw this girl do a chat at the show, and actually I think we need to like look into B2B2C or whatever it is, like take something away and do something positive with your brand recognition and your brand values. And that's really it. It was very much a whirlwind tour of B2B2C and of brand positioning for ingredient brands. But if any of you have got any questions, I would happily try and answer them.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabrics Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.com. Copyright November 2016 by Designer Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.